Welcome to the Follow Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 7:07 British Summer Time. Well, this has been quite an exciting day in here today. But just before I start, I went to visit David in hospital today. He's in very good spirits. He's certainly in much better condition than he was when he had the emergency appendectomy about a year ago. And he's really looking forward to getting back to work, but that probably won't be until toward the end of next week. He's been laced up with a corset because he's got so many stitches, and essentially what they had to do was to stitch back together his stomach muscles because they hadn't stitched him back up properly after the appendectomy last year. And that means, that he's going to be out of action for at least a week, but at the moment he's inundated with visitors and holding court, and I think thoroughly enjoying himself, and really quite happy with the way things have turned out. But getting back to the markets, oh, and sorry, he would certainly like to thank everyone who sent through their well wishes, and I printed off a lot of them and brought them over to him today, and he was very glad to receive all those emails. Anyway, now, definitely this time, back to the markets. Well, stock markets started off the day really quite dull, and dull as dishwater, really. The Nikkei was up 19 points. The ASX in Australia was up 34 points. So, Australia looking a little bit firmer. Japan really quite dull. Nothing much happening there. And in the morning in Europe, it really was very calm. But we had this housing data come out of the US. It was existing home sales. They fell to a 4-month low. And that sort of spooked the stock market a little bit. So we see that the Nasdaq's down 21 points, just over 1%. The S&P's down about 0.5%, and the Dow's down about 0.75%. So that has that took the wind out of the sails really for Europe, and the DAX was down over 1%, Amsterdam over 1%, and the OMX down 1.3%. It's in Sweden. But what this really does is it confirms the fact that we still are in this medium-term correction, and with moves like that on the Nasdaq, chances are that that's going to put pressure on the lows that we saw earlier on in the month. But what the type of activity we're seeing right now on the Nasdaq in particular is doesn't really bear any relation whatsoever to the kind of activity we saw in early May, where you had a very, very steep decline. That decline lost momentum. We had some right-hand extension for a while, then it broke down from that. We've seen similar right-hand extension. Now, we don't know whether that's going to break down from that or not right away, but what we can say is that this very accelerated downward move from May has definitely lost momentum. And the chances are that even if it does go down to make new lows, they're probably not going to be majorly significant new lows. We're not going to see a massive acceleration on the downside, short of some exogenous shock, which obviously we can't predict. But what it does mean is that we're still in this medium-term correction. We never thought that this was over. And we're probably not going to have the massive volatility that we had in May or even at the beginning of June. It's probably going to be more sedate. Now, even though that the Nasdaq is down 1%, it's not down 3%. It's not down 2%. It's down 1%. So that you even though it is down 1%, that there's a contraction of that volatility. And that really is the key point. When you have the major markets still in the medium term correction, when I was looking at in our my click through this morning, looking at some of those Middle Eastern markets, they're starting to make new lows again. Again, these were markets that were fueled by liquidity on the upside. When that liquidity gets started getting pulled back, they fell like stones, and they're continuing to fall. So all the markets that didn't have a particularly strong fundamental story are getting pegged back quite severely in here. I'm just pulling up some of these Asian stock markets. For example, India found some support last week at 9,000, rallied up to 10,500. It's back around the 10,000 mark today. So still in that medium-term correction. And what we expect to see here is much more of a sort of ranging activity, that we're not going to see huge moves on the upside or on the downside, where it's primarily going to go sideways. And what we will expect to see is more apathetic trading, where, for example, in looking at the Sensex here, it bottomed there at about 9,000, rallied up to 10,500. It could easily come back to 9,000, but the question is really, is it going to see 8,000 or 7,000 or 6,000? That's probably unlikely. Although, because this is an emerging market, not out of the question. But I think the chances are that we're probably going to see a diminishment of the volatility in a lot of these markets, and chances are that we're going to see more ranging activity where it'll go up for one week and down for another week for the next couple of months. Now, moving on to some of the other markets, with the sort of negative news for the stock market, the bond markets rallied a bit, and they went up to, for example, the 30 years went up to 106 even, but it's given a bit of that back. It's at 105.23 right now. So those treasury markets had a little bit of a bounce, but really not anything to convince the market that these aren't eventually going to go lower. When you look at that correlation chart I posted today of the 30-year treasuries and the Nikkei, one story that really tells is that these have finished a bottoming out process. So government bonds are really going to be opportunities to short on rallies for the foreseeable future. And it doesn't look like that. I mean, just looking at the treasuries there, they would have to break up above 108 to even start to look like they've bottomed out, and that they're just not doing that at the moment. So we could see some lower bond prices in the relatively near future. Now, gold today was probably one of the bigger movers. It rallied up to 596 on the spot price, but gave pretty much all of it up, and is right now down at 582.69. So it's down 250 on the day. That had been looking really quite perky this morning, and was starting to show signs that it was going to go up and have a look at that round 600 level. It's backed right off of that now. So again, we're still in this corrective phase for the precious metals. Same sort of story for silver. Silver had rallied up to, oh, they've just changed that. It's ticked over at 7 o'clock. Let me just pull up the chart. Oh gosh, that's taking a long time. Silver had rallied up as far as 10.62, but came right back to about 10.20, so 40 cent move on the day there. Again, this is still very much in a medium-term correction. And while we have seen a slowing of the momentum of this downtrend, we haven't seen any upward dynamics yet, so it's still too early to call the bottom in these. But the chances are, I think anyway, that they've probably done the vast majority of what they're going to do on the downside. Soybeans is up 9 points at the moment, and since that had come off quite sharply yesterday, and following that really strong upward dynamic we saw at the beginning of June, it hasn't really shown any very positive signs since then until today. Broadly, that is still very much in that ranging pattern. And if you look in the chart library and have a look at the weekly pattern, you'll see that that really is very much in a basing formation. It would need to see a break above the sort of 620, 630 level to break up out of that base. So at the moment, it's pretty much at the bottom of the base. But soft commodities have been hit rather hard over the last couple of weeks. Now, the oil complex continues to hold up rather well. It's down on the day at the moment, although it has been as high as 72.50, so a 75 cent range on the day on oil. But as long as that's holding above that sort of 68 level, it's still consolidating above the region of last year's highs. That's still looking really quite healthy. I think that the energy complex is largely just waiting for that first big hurricane to roll into the Gulf of Mexico, waiting to see, is it going to take out any of the oil infrastructure? of those that are going to gain from that, natural gas is particularly low at the moment. And on the ratio charts, when you look at the ratio of oil to natural gas is particularly cheap. For that to come back into its into its sort of median range, which is, I think, around between 6 and 9, and it's currently over 11. Either oil is going to have to come down or natural gas is going to go up, and I suspect it'll be natural gas going up at some point. Now, inventories are very high at the moment, so there's not a lot of impetus to really push it up there. But if we saw Henry Hub getting hit by a hurricane, then that thing could rally really very, very quickly. So, moving on to some of the metals. The metals got hit a little bit in here today. Copper was quite high, but it's currently sitting at 317.50, which is down nearly $15 on the day. And copper, having been one of the stronger metals, giving up a little bit of that that impetus in here today. So that is still very much in a medium-term correction. I know I sound like a broken record here saying this is a medium-term correction, that's in a medium-term correction, something else is in a medium-term correction. But what we're seeing here is a contraction of liquidity. And there are a lot of people talking about the contraction in Japan with the end of quantitative easing. And they've just taken a lot of money. I think it's something like 200 billion out of the system. And that's being felt across the board. But in the scheme of things, 200 billion really isn't an awful lot of money. And I doubt whether Japan can continue to drain money out of their economy so very quickly, because inflation there isn't is pretty anemic really, outside of the oil prices. So they're going to have to take it a little bit slower, and the end of the zero interest rate policy means that they might go to a quarter of a percent, or they might go to half a percent. But are they going to go to 2% by the end of the year? I think that's extremely unlikely. So if they do end the zero interest rates this year, the chances are they're not going to raise interest rates very much at all. That means that people who are running the carry trade and borrowing at more or less 0% and buying whatever they might be buying, let's say they're buying treasuries, well, as interest rates rise in the US, let's say they go to 5.25 on Thursday, maybe 5.5 by the end of the year, well, that's still quite a massive interest rate differential, even if Japan were to raise by a quarter of a point. So what is really spooking the markets at the moment is the fact that so many central banks are on an interest rate rising binge, because you have the Fed and you have the ECB and you have the Bank of Japan all talking about raising interest rates. And that is scaring people. So when you have central banks across the world deciding that they're going to raise interest rates, that puts the willies into investors. And they start taking money out of high-risk enterprises, so that's why you've seen so many of the emerging markets, which had these enormous spectacular gains, starting to come off quite sharply. Again, that's not particularly surprising. We would expect to see emerging markets to be high beta, and while you have developed markets, particularly the U.S. stock markets, in a corrective phase. And when you look at those long-term charts, the US markets haven't really come off all that much. But what it does mean is that it takes a lot of wind out of the sails of those liquidity-fueled emerging markets, and it wouldn't be at all surprising to see some of those come off even more. But right now, things are really relatively steady, and it doesn't look like we're going to see very, very big declines in developed markets, which means that we're probably towards the end of this, sorry, not the end of the correction, but the bottom of the correction. The rehabilitation phase could take quite a bit longer, could take a couple of months, while markets gain or move into a more apathetic stage and confidence starts to return. Again, that will probably take a couple of months. But that's it for me. And if there's anything at all that we can help you out with, or any questions you might have, just drop us a line. And thank you for your time.